How beautiful was that? Just to pray for our church for this week. And so even now, we're going to go before the Lord, before the preaching of the word. We want to make sure that we depend upon him. There is not one thing that I or anyone else can do apart from him that has any value. So let's go before him, position our hearts and our minds to just depend upon him and his word.
Okay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Father, for this time that we can gather, Father, as brothers and sisters, Father, and to hear the word. Father, I do lift this time up to you, Father. I lift up Chad as he presents the word, Father, Lord, that the Father, he just steps aside and you speak through him, Father. And Lord, I pray that you open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to hear the word, Father. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you for this day, Father. And as we sang, what a glorious day, Father. And as we get ready to prepare for that, Lord, every day is a glorious day. So, Father, I just thank you and I praise you and ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thanks, Mike. If you have your Bible, if you would, turn with me to John chapter 9. As you were turning there, last week we looked at how God is a sending God and how he sent Jesus, looked at his coming, his birth, and what he came to do. He came to seek and to save the lost, and even tells us that as he was sent, so he sends us. And so each one of us, as we are children of God, we are sent out to make him known, to share. Today, we're going to look at a story of, in the next few weeks, we'll look at encounters with Jesus as people encountered him as he was out doing ministry, as he was headed to the cross. We'll see kind of in the book of John anyway, from right here, there's a shift in Jesus, or at least in the writer as he talked about stories of Jesus. Jesus began to really focus upon his disciples and preparing them for when he went to the cross and ultimately ascended, died, was raised from the dead and ascended. But today what we're going to do is we're going to look at his disciples had a question for him, a theological question. And the question was, as they encountered a blind man, is why was this man born blind? Was it his sin or the sins of his parents? Now, this was important because the religious leaders would have taught this. They would have taught that things happen in your life because of sin. And so it was a question that they were asking, one of which that I think as Jesus answered, I think that we will learn from. And so today I pray that you were encouraged. I pray that at the same time you were challenged because of how he responds to this. Today we will ultimately tackle something that is hard, but again, something that I think that all of us encounter, and that is pain or trials or suffering in life. And one of the things in which Jesus responds is that this was done or this has happened to this man ultimately for the glory of God. And so one of the things that I want us to be challenged by is that the things that we encounter in this world, though they are hard, though we will encounter brokenness of this world, is that because God is upon the throne, we can at least approach them or ask God questions in such a way. Instead of, why me, God, we can ask and come to him, Lord, how can I give you glory even in the midst of going through this? And that is a hard question to ask because it will be one that puts me not at the center of it, but instead puts God at the center. Even as I look across this room, I see people that were born with struggles or difficulties. Others who have encountered them as you have lived life. Some of you have been diagnosed with cancer or have had to go through long treatments of things. Some of you have loss. Still dealing with grief. Others in this room have made decisions themselves and had to suffer consequences for those decisions. Maybe have cost you time, jail, prison. I say all of this just to remind us that we are going to go through trials and we're actually promised persecution. But even in the midst of all of that, we have a God who we can give glory even as we go through these things. She went to Children's Church, but last week we prayed for Kendall. Kendall actually was at 24 days, 25 nights in the hospital, and Kendall is here today. She is home, and so, yeah, praise the Lord for that. But even for a health thing that she was born with, we can start to ask the questions why. Think of it as a parent, why? And as I visited Kendall in the hospital a few times, one of the things that Kendall did every time was she smiled, she was excited to see me, she prayed for other kids in the hospital, and I can guarantee you she did not put herself at the center of it. This is a little girl. We have much to learn. And so, as we dive in, we're going to read the full chapter this morning. And so, if you don't mind, if you feel comfortable to do that, if you don't mind standing as we read God's Word, if along the way you need to sit down, please do that. But we'll read the whole chapter here this morning. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud. It anointed my eyes and sent and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud in my eyes and I washed and I see." Some of the Pharisees says, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called his parents of the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees, we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. But one thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us? And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him? Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Jesus said, For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, Are we also blind? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you so much for this encounter. We ask, Lord, that today you would open our eyes to see. That God, even if we claim to see, I pray that it is made very clear if we do not. And those of us who walk with you and know you, I pray that you would continue to open our eyes to things in our life that distract or come in the way, and that, Father, we would be quick to lay them down, to walk as you did. And so, God, lead us today. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. You can be seated. Thank you for standing as we read, and I want to tell you just a couple of things here this morning. The first thing is that there is purpose amid suffering. Here, the sent one of God came and encountered a man and told him, even his disciples, that as he has been sent, we must do the works of the one who sent him as long as it is day. Why? Because night is coming. And so today, the first thing I want you to see is that this man was born blind, not because of sin, but ultimately that the works of God might be displayed in him. And so there is purpose. The purpose was to bring glory to God. And as I think through many of you, I mentioned Kindle, but the same is true, I think, as we think about our own lives. I've been able to walk over the past 4.5 years or whatever through different struggles of many of you. And I've got to see God be glorified in the midst of some of the things in which you have encountered, whether it was unbelief, whether it was pain, loss, some of you in the midst of illnesses or sickness. And it is amazing to see how we step back and we can see God at work. At the same time, I think that sometimes we come to stories like this and be like, well, it's easy for God, or it's easy to glorify God when a healing comes. And I just want to remind you that though this was a miraculous healing, it was still just temporary. I mean, even you think of stories like Lazarus being raised from the dead, it was still just a temporary healing because Lazarus would ultimately die. You see that? And so it is still just, even though we point a lot on physical healings, there is a healing that God points to, that Jesus gets to, that is far greater and far outweighs the physical healings that so many times we look to, and that is one of spiritual healing. You see, one is temporary, but the other is eternal. And today I want us to see that there is purpose. And even in the midst of struggles or brokenness of this world as you walk, I want to remind you that there is one upon the throne that has a plan even in the midst of the struggles that we walk through. If healing comes, amen, we glorify him. If healing doesn't come and even we're called home, then amen, we glorify him. But the thing that I want you to see, it is in the fact and in the way that you and I have hope and joy in the midst of the struggles and trials, that people will see it and they will wonder and they will even ask, how are you able to do that with the greatest of joy? How are you able to do that and seem as though you have peace? That is why we are encouraged to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that we have. It is because it is in these times that Jesus is clearly seen. And so I want to challenge you, as you walk with him, to ask those questions. Healing is not always promised. I mean, we see even Paul point to that he had a thorn in his flesh. And we don't really know what that is, but we know that he asked God to take it and he didn't. And so God can be glorified even in the non-healing. Amen? And I think that's important for us to know. Now we have faith and we trust and we believe that God can and will. But if he so chooses not to, then the posture is the same. Well, then I'm going to worship you. And I'm going to trust that you are right here with me and will give me strength even as I walk through that. And so instead of asking, why me, we must learn. We must shift to ask, Lord, how can I give you glory even in the midst of this? Every time I come to this passage, I always am led to ask, why did Jesus spit? Why did he spit in the mud? I mean, he could have healed and does heal in many different ways. I was reading this week just in my personal quiet time where a man approached Jesus and asked for him to heal his daughter. And Jesus like, okay, well, let's go. And the guy said, no, I too am a man of authority and am under authority, but also have men under me. And when I say things, they do it. And he goes, I believe that you can do that just by saying it. And Jesus marveled, and he says, I've never seen anyone with such faith as this man, and ultimately told him, it'll be done as you said. And the healing came. And so I say that just to say that here in this moment, Jesus could have healed and spoke words, right? Even we read a story where a lady who had been bleeding reached out and just touched the hem of his garment and was healed. So there is power and authority that Jesus, so why did he spit? I worked with a mentor of mine, Walker Moore, and he would teach this, and he would point to Jesus spitting and making mud, and that it was ultimately to show the disciples that they need to be willing to get their hands dirty. And even sometimes on trips would challenge people to make a spitball in mud and then ask them, your hands look like Jesus. We must be willing to get our hands dirty. And as I don't know if that's what Jesus is doing here. I think that definitely challenges us and that we should be willing to get our hands dirty. But the thing that I want you to see here is Jesus calling us that we must work while it is still day. We must work. We don't know when night is coming. We don't know, even as we enter into this war and there's wars and rumors of wars, people are always like, he's coming, and he may very well be. I do want to point out that over the last however many hundreds of years, they've also thought that he's been coming too, but there should be an urgency, amen? No matter what, we don't know. He could come. He could come today. He could come right now. Night is coming when no one can work, whether it's when you breathe your last breath or when he calls us home. Oh, glorious day. We just sang about it. But the thing is that we must be at work. There is an eternal. Eternity is at stake for people's lives around us. And so let us be at work while it is still day. We don't know when darkness comes and when it is coming, but we must be willing to be obedient to the Lord and trust him. Trust him because he is at work. There should be a confidence that comes as you and I are at work. God is always at work in people's lives all around us, and we can see that. We can see that in the everyday. There's a gentleman who has been coming to our church, invited me to lunch this week. I don't always tell stories because I don't want to get the reward here, but this is one that I just want to tell because it was clearly God at work. Our hostess was taking us to our seat and ultimately said that Katie is going to be your server. And so just in my mind, just to the Lord, I pray for Katie. I don't know what she's going through today, but I do want to encourage her. And as we sat down, Katie introduced herself to us and we to her, and she got our order. She brought our food, and we asked her, we said, hey, we're getting ready to ask God to bless our food. How can we pray for you? And Katie kind of was taken aback, took a second, but said, you know, I'm getting ready to start a new job and a little nervous. And so we got to pray for Katie, and so she went off, did her job, taking care of others. She came back, and she said, can I ask you to pray for something else? And I said, well, sure. And she began to cry. And she said that she has had resentment because of her last job and the things that happened in her life. And in that moment was able to encourage her and to tell her who she is, that she is a child of God and that he loves her and that he sees her. He hasn't forgot about her. And here she is crying as we stand there and get to share with her. And I say that just to say, just small moments, just like Jesus saw this blind man, God sends us out to where we can see them and that he gives us his heart and that we can take just small moments, just a couple of minutes to help people know that there is a God who loves them and sees them. And I want to challenge you to see. Here, this man born blind after encountering Jesus became this bold proclaimer of his testimony, right? He's brought before leaders and they tell him, ask him, how were you saved? And that's what everyone wants to know. Well, how did this happen? He didn't ask him who did this, but how, right? And I want you to understand that he had no idea. He had no understanding as to how this happened, but what could he point to? I was blind. This guy spit, wiped it on my eyes. I don't know about you, but I can't even handle my own kid's spit, let alone someone I don't know, and they're wiping it on him. Like, I mean, think of, you're blind, you can't see anything, and you hear a guy hacking, and then it's wiping on, I mean, no, I'm out, right? But here this, he tells him, and then he told me, you know, he sent me over to wash in this pool called Scent, and I looked. Now, Scent is said a lot in out this whole thing, and I'm looking for some sort. I don't know why it's important for us to know that this pool was named Scent, but I don't know, but I want you to know that the Scent one sent this guy to wash in the pool called Scent, and he came back seeing. But he tells them, and he walks them through it all. I don't understand. Understanding, I think that we try to understand everything, but I want you to know where I'm at. It's beautiful to me that there are so many things about God that I don't fully understand. Like, I know we should, and I'm not saying don't continue, like we should continue to try to understand and do all that we can to understand, but it's beautiful and freeing for me to be like, you know what, there's a mystery involved in this thing. Like, I used to say a lot, especially as a youth, like, God has this thing rigged. You know, he's got a plan. I don't always know the plan, but I can trust him in the midst of it. And that's freeing for me. And here, this is what this guy is. Ultimately, he's like, I don't know. You know, we've got two little boys in our house. Love them. So much. And I've just been like this understanding, like this question, why happens all the time. What are you doing? And I'm like, you can see what I'm doing. What am I? A lot of times I'll say, what am I doing? You know, and I make them answer me, you know. But anyway, it's always why. And so I'm trying to bring understanding to the things that I'm doing. And one of them, when his hands get wet, there's something that he does now. We've told him not to wipe them on his shirt or his pants. So you know what he does? He dries his hands on his hair now. And this is fine, you know, until it's like I got yogurt on my hands, you know, or ice cream or, you know, whatever. Well, so I'm sitting in the living room, and I'm watching in the kitchen. He's eating. He gets, I think, ketchup today on his hands, and so he goes to his hair, and then he wipes his nose, and I go, hey, what do you do when you get a booger on your hand? Do you go to your hair? And he goes, nope, I eat them. Well, that's good to know. I don't have to put it, you know, I don't have to look for that in his hair, but, you know, I'm trying to help him with understanding. That's probably not good. People are going to see ice cream in your hair. But, you know, understanding it's important. And here, they're asking this guy for understanding, and he's like, you know, I don't know. They're like, we know he's a sinner. And he's like, I don't know if he's a sinner or not, but here's what I know. I was blind. I went and washed. Now I see. Bold testimony of what happened. Here, this guy had a physical transformation. And you and I, something far more important than any physical transformation, spiritually transformed for eternity. Like literally in the domain of darkness, headed for an object of wrath, headed for a real place called hell. And yet God came, intersected us at some point in our lives. We now know him, walk with him, have surrendered, belief came. Now he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and yet we become timid. Why is that? Here, this guy has only received a physical transformation, not yet spiritual. We'll see that come here in a minute. And yet here he stands, I don't know, and even pointing out to them. They say, well, we're disciples of Moses, not this guy. We don't even know where he's from. And he lays it out. Look, you don't know where this guy's from, but yet God hears him. And there's never been anybody, including Moses, who took a guy who was born blind and healed him. Are you to question us, right? You see the pride well up. And so many times, don't sit on your high horse like you don't do that too, right? Like this pride, like this question. I remember the very first time I tried to share the gospel, I think, with anybody. And I did it to someone in my family, which is so hard. But I remember talking to this person, and we're riding in a vehicle, and I told him that I was worried. I was worried about him spiritually. Probably not the best way to start off that conversation, but that's where I started. And there was this pride that welled up in him. Don't you worry about me. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've gone here, and I've been baptized this many times, and I, you know, all the things, right? This pride that welled up, just like these Pharisees. Don't you worry about me. Don't you, and I don't know about you, like if I were to ask you, are you a Christian, would that same pride well up? Or if I were to question you, would that rise up? Well, look at what I've done. I've done this. I've read my Bible. I've gone to church. I've done all these things. Would that be the response? Because I just want you to know, there's no amount of those things that can lead you to earn salvation. None of those things. Like every time there's a list of things, like Matthew 7, did I prophesy in your name or in your name drive out demons and perform mighty works? Like this is a very powerful list if there is such a list. And Jesus replied, depart from me, I never knew you. Like, so pride and what you've done or accomplished should not be the response when questions come. But it should be that same humility. I'm a sinner. I bring nothing to the table. But there was a God who loved me and sent Jesus to come, and he died in my place. I deserved it, but he paid it. And he died. I deserved to die, but he died. And he rose from the dead, and he told me if I'd believe in him, I'd know him, and I can walk with him. And listen, it's been amazing. And so here this guy, he says, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I know. And so for you, there may be questions. You may be here this morning. You're still like, man, there's a lot of questions that I have about God. And I want you to know, I wish I could tell you that all the questions will be answered. But there are so many things that are undeniable. It is undeniable that you are here. You exist. It's undeniable that the food you eat, things you drink, exist. It's undeniable that there was a man named Jesus who was born into this world, existed, historical fact. It is undeniable that that same Jesus died on a cross, was placed in a tomb. It is undeniable, like known fact, that then there become this uproar of people who said that they have seen him having risen from the dead. Then, undeniable that there was this mighty movement of people turned this world upside down of people who begin to continue to go and to spread and to share the gospel about this Savior rising from the dead. Undeniable. But then it's also undeniable for me that when I was 16 years old, I had some friends invite me. God had been at work in my life because God's always at work. And I went. And in going, I heard the gospel. And it is undeniable to me that though a sinner, I realized it clearly, but then heard that there was a God who loved me. And I surrendered my life to him, believed in him, believed in that payment, and that payment was enough. And it is undeniable that he transformed my life. Undeniable. I was blind. Now I see you. And I want to tell you that your story, wherever it was along the line, you were blind, and if now you see, you know, transformation. And I want to tell you, we serve a God who loves us and has made a way. And it is my prayer that you see Jesus. Look at verse 35 with me. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshiped him. You know, there are a lot of different faiths and denominations that would not point or not see that Jesus is God in the flesh. In this moment, this guy believed and he worshiped him. Jesus claimed to be God. And he let people worship him as though he is God. That's pretty amazing to see. Listen to what Jesus said after this. He said, "For judgment I came into the world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, right? Pride welled up. "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." Here these Pharisees are. "Are you claiming that we're blind?" And Jesus points out to them. He helps them to see their spiritual blindness. And I think we got to be careful, or this spiritual blindness can come over our lives as well. This same pride will rise up, and instead of being obedient like this blind man was to go, because think about what it cost him, right? The parents, they wouldn't answer the lead religious leaders' questions because they knew if someone claims that Jesus is the Christ, what would happen? They'd been kicked out of the synagogue. So this guy, likely because he believed in Jesus, was kicked out of the synagogue, and potentially it cost him his parents because they were unwilling to say that Jesus was the Christ. And now that this guy was willing to say that Jesus is the Christ, maybe they too turned from him. We don't know. But I want you to tell you that there is a cost in following Jesus, and we are to count that cost. Are you willing to follow Jesus and be obedient regardless of the cost? You see, these Pharisees, they were blind, spiritually blind, and they did not see. And that's what Jesus is trying to help them to point out to them. And so you and I today, what does this mean in the way of application? How are we to take the truth of what this encounter is and apply it to our lives? Jesus says in Matthew 16, he says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me." John would say it this way in 1 John chapter 2, "Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did." You and I are called to walk like Jesus, look like Jesus. We're called to point people. And so today, in the way of application, will you look for God's purpose even in the midst of suffering and pain? Shift from asking questions like, "Why me?" to, "How can God be glorified?" Second thing, way of application, we are called to work intentionally while we still can. As long as it is day, we must work the works of him who sent Jesus. Night is coming. I want to challenge you to be intentional with how you are living your life, knowing that God has a plan for you, knowing that God is calling you and is sending you. So go with that responsibility, sharing, asking, "Lord, how am I to be obedient?" Third thing, share your simple but yet undeniable testimony. Here, this blind man shared it boldly. "I don't know. You're asking questions I don't know, but it's undeniable. This is what happened. I was here. I was begging. I was sitting. He told me to go. He wiped mud on me. Go to wash. Now I can see. I don't know. But here's what I know." What is your own testimony? Have you encountered Jesus Christ? Have you surrendered your life? Are you new? Do you now see? Were you once blind and now you can see? Oh, proclaim it. There are so many people that need to hear your testimony. Let Jesus keep opening your eyes. He calls us to walk as he did. And so ask him, Lord, show me, open my eyes. Help me to see the things that are distracting me. Help me to see the things that keep me from living the life that you've called me to, or even from being obedient. And then lastly, Lord, would you help me to see people as opportunity for God's glory? Will you look at people? Here, Jesus saw this man. Everyone else as a beggar, can you imagine the amount of people that just walk on by or turn the other way? I mean, think of it in your own life. How many of you, when you approach an intersection and there's someone begging, you like, no eye contact, no eye contact, you know? I mean, we do that. And I'm just saying, see people, see them. Lord, how can I love this person? How can I point them to you? Help them. And so today, what is the Lord leading you to do? Have you trusted in him? Do you know him? Are you walking with him? Let's ask him to speak to our hearts. If you would, bow with me. Father, we thank you so much for your word today. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that today, just as you encountered this beggar on the side of the road, I pray that you would bring new life today. I pray that belief would come. But also, Lord, I pray for those who believe, those who have already trusted in you. Lord, I ask that you would send us. And as we have been sent, I pray that we would look for ways that we can proclaim you to others. So God, lead and guide us. Lead us to those who are hurting. Lead us to those who maybe have no hope. And we ask, Lord, that as you have been sent, we also will understand that you have sent us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. If you would stand as we worship, I want to challenge you to respond as the Lord would lead you. Today, is he leading you to say yes, to be obedient to as he leads you?